Ken read from Revelation 5 just a little while ago. Now let's read a few verses from Revelation 21. I wouldn't be at all surprised if these verses of Scripture are real familiar to you. What does it say there in God's Word, Revelation 21? It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" You know very well that there's an awful lot of mischief that is drawn out of the book of Revelation. Not that John the writer meant for that to happen. It's just that his presentation method for the book is subject to be misunderstood. A whole lot of symbols that he used in his day and time that everybody would get very quickly are not so familiar to us today, and therefore a lot of people have misinterpreted and misapplied this book in many, many ways. Because it's kind of hard to follow all these strange symbols and to make sense of all these songs and these shouts and these acclamations that take place in the book. Reading Revelation, though, as if it's some kind of crystal ball predicting a future which is yet to come, that can be a huge mistake, because that method of reading it just kind of makes it so irrelevant many, many times. Let's understand in very simple terms what John is saying here, okay? First of all, in the passage that Ken read for us from Revelation 5, he's simply saying, "This is really the way things are." Okay? Who's in control? It is Christ who is in control, not Caesar or the worldly powers that be. And here's the other thing we're seeing today. If God is in control, if he has his way with the world, then this is how it is going to be. Revelation 21. No more crying, no more pain, no more grief, no more loss. That's not the way God wants things to be. Now, of course, nobody has to tell you how bad things are in the world or that there are bad things taking place in the world. My goodness, since the dawn of the dominance of we Homo sapiens, we've had just this steady flow of wars and crime and hatred and violence. And there's just been too many troubles. And today, our news media can just saturate us with news accounts of robbery at gunpoint, murders in our city and surrounding area, drug war violence in Mexico, bombing deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan and a lot of other places in the world, genocide in Africa, suffering in Haiti, miners being killed in China, and on it goes. And there's all sorts of TV commentators and bloggers and politicians and journalists who are constantly reporting these disasters and asking such questions as, what is going on here? What's the world coming to? What's wrong with these people? How can such things happen? Now, some will point to one explanation and some will point to another and others will just point fingers, okay? And say, something is dreadfully wrong. And you know what? God agrees. He really agrees. What Revelation boldly states is that the present world order is not the way God wants it to be. If he had his way, if his will were done on earth as it is in heaven, if humanity would just let him call the shots, then this is the way it would be. He will wipe he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, I know for the starving masses and for the people who are really suffering in this world, this day can't come fast enough. And perhaps for you, this day can't come fast enough. How can this beautiful vision become a reality? I ask you to look back to Revelation 5 and connect it with Revelation 21. In Revelation 5, what is at the center of all creation and reality? It's not exactly the right way to ask the question. The question is, who is at the center of reality and the powers of this universe? Who's receiving all this attention in God's new world order? Who are the elders praising in their song? Why, it's none other than the Lamb who was slaughtered but is now alive. Now, who is that? Absolutely no one who first read the book of Revelation could not know who it was. And there's no reason that any of us should not know. Who is the Lamb? John the Baptist saw a man named Jesus walking along, and he turned to everybody around him and he said what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb is Jesus. He is at the very center of everything. You remember in Matthew's gospel, told us that the moment that Jesus died, the earth shook. It also says in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, there was a tremendous earthquake. Look how the death and the resurrection of Jesus shakes up this world and the whole world order. That's the point. Jesus changes everything. Look how God's love is demonstrated in power. In the battle between good and evil, who's going to win? Rome? The Roman Empire? Caesar? With all of his troops and all of his swords and all of his spears and all of his weapons of terror and destruction, is he the winner? No, not that punk. No, it's the fragile Lamb of God who got beat up, spit on, who got whipped, stabbed, who got skewered on a cross. Amazing. He's the winner. He's in power. He's in control. And what is given to him in verse 12 of chapter 5, everything that flows to him now is power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. He gets it all. And who is standing with this victorious Lamb of God? Why, whoever trusts him, whoever believes him, as the people of the receivers of Revelation were asked to be those people. And you and I are called to be those people today too. You know, there's good reason that the book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible. It's God's last word, okay? His final comment on the state of humanity. He gives us both a very realistic picture of the resilient power of evil. That's definite and true. But he also gives us a peek into the future and the way God wants things to be. So we can look around the horrendous evil that is in our world today and we can say two things. One, it's not supposed to be this way. And two, it won't stay this way. Then we can say, God is making it right in Jesus Christ. And now there are things that I can do in Jesus Christ to make it right too. It's a great word of hope and a great word that we need today. You know, during World War II, there was an American soldier in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. And he experienced with all the other soldiers in that terrible camp unbearable torture and degradation. It was an awful, awful existence. But he told of one prisoner who was in the camp who was from Illinois. And he would sometimes, as they were being led out into the work, to work in the fields in the hot and terrible conditions, this soldier would hum. And he would hum a tune. And the tune that he would hum was America the Beautiful. Now, the Japanese guards didn't know the song, so it didn't mean anything to them. But every other American prisoner around knew the song, and they knew its meaning. And they got visions in their heads of amber waves of grain and their beloved country through the humming of that tune. And soon the whole camp, when they were going out to work, was humming America the Beautiful, with the guards oblivious to the revolutionary significance of their defiant gesture. Now, in the middle of suffering and pain and chaos and a lot of troubles, a lot of stupid things that humanity does, the people of God sing songs of defiant hope and expectation that a new world is coming, a completely new world, one that is whole and one that is complete. Now, would you like to engage in another powerfully symbolic gesture of hope and expectation? Well, then join with your Christian brothers and sisters here around the Lord's Supper table, because it is here, again, that we meet the Christ who makes a new world for all of us to live.